Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week's going well so far. So what if you had a friend or a loved one who, instead of asking you how you're doing or how are you feeling, they asked you this: how are you thinking today? What would you say? Well, my guest today is Tracy Miles, and she joins me to share some God-filled strategies to transform the way we think and consequently how we feel and how we live. Before we get her on, I got some great news for you. You've been hearing us talk about our first annual Northwestern Christian Writers Conference, and we've just had a vision to just launch a massive, awesome conference. I've really believed from the get-go, because we're partnering with a university across the street, that this would become one of the anchor writers conferences in the nation. Well, would you believe it's shaping up that way? We're going to sell out at 700 tickets, and we only have 75 tickets left. So if you've got a dream to be published, if you just maybe have a curiosity about, is this something I want to do, whether it be writing greeting cards, writing articles, writing for children, writing fast-paced fiction novels or Bible studies for women, you got to come. You got to check it out. Liz Curtis Higgs is our keynote speaker. We're bringing in amazing editors, agents, experts in the field. We want to see you. It won't be the same conference without you. So don't postpone. Don't let fear stand in the way. Get on the website and sign up and plan to join us on Saturday, July 15th. And the website is NorthwesternChristianWritersConference.com. So my question for you is this: do you struggle with a rogue thought life? Does it feel like your thoughts kind of have a mind of their own? Well, my guest today writes this: when negative thoughts are controlling us, there is hope. When we learn to change the way we think, we will change the way we feel. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Tracy Miles is passionate about inspiring women to deepen their relationship with Christ, discover their God-given purpose, and always live a life of joy, peace, and happiness despite their circumstances. She's a speaker and writer with Proverbs 31 Ministries and enjoys sharing at women's events around the country. Glad to have her with us again today. Tracy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So glad to have you. And we're going to get to your book, Unsinkable Faith, here in just a moment. But we love to start every conversation talking scripture. And you chose 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says this: this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. Talk to us about that verse.
Well, for me, that has been a critical verse in my faith walk. And it's meant different things to me at different times in my life. When I really began rededicating my life to Christ and just understanding that I could be a new creation because he was in me, you know, that sent my life in an entirely new direction in my faith walk. And just in the past couple years, that verse has really come back to me as something very important, because I realized that that new life can mean a lot of different things and that we can be new in so many different ways.
Yeah, he's always up to something new. And Tracy, I would love a little backstory, not only on just your faith journey, but on the affliction and the hardship in your life that really shaped and inspired the message of this particular book.
Sure. What the book kind of starts out talking about and is just probably the most difficult situation that I've ever been in my life. And that was about 18 months ago. My husband and I, of 25 years, abruptly separated. And it was just this downward spiral of emotional destruction is really what followed. And I think that's very normal. But I found myself in a position over many, many months of just sinking in my emotional health, in my physical health, and even in my spiritual walk. And although I was leaning on God and, you know, looking to his word and really just depending on him, I still felt like I was sinking. And I do talk about one story in the book where I kind of got to that lowest point. And I had a serious conversation with God. I just let all of my emotions out for several hours, and I prayed and I cried, and I just experienced an encounter with him to where he really whispered to my heart, but will you still love me in the midst of this, you know, devastating situation? And I realized that my heart's answer was, yes, I'm going to still love you, Lord. And I knew in that moment that I needed to start taking my life in a different direction and stop letting my circumstances and my thoughts sink me and my faith, and let God start really coming to my rescue and giving me what I needed to move forward.
Mm, appreciate you sharing that, Tracy. I know that's not an easy part of the story. And you wrote that how you one day you kind of got tired of feeling so under your circumstances, and you wrote, I was fed up with feeling sad and hopeless. I was tired of assuming the future couldn't be bright simply because the present was so difficult. I wonder, Tracy, how many people fall into that buying that lie that the future can't possibly be bright because my present is so difficult.
That's a very natural place for us to be, especially when we are right in the center of something so difficult that we seem to be blinded to life outside of that. And, you know, that's where the enemy can do some of his best work, because he wants us to believe there is no future. You need to lose hope. You can't be happy. You can't have God's peace in the midst of these less than peaceful circumstances. But when we're at our weakest point, and that's what I discovered over the last couple of years, that's really when God can do his greatest work in our hearts. And so we need to just pray and ask God to help us see beyond the present day and just really put our faith in the fact that he has a plan and he has a future for us, and it's not to hurt us or keep us from prospering, but, you know, he wants us to have that hope and to really anchor our hearts in him, because when hearts are anchored in God, they don't sink. And it's just a great, you know, visual picture to think about anchoring our hearts to God, that we can keep going through and we can rise above whatever we're experiencing.
Okay, so you're walking through this painful divorce. You won't go through this just kind of downward spiral of emotional, physical, spiritual, even despair. You have a talk with God, and he asks you, will you still love me? You say, yes, I will still love you. You say that conversation was a game changer. Well, what changed after that? I mean, what did it require something of you after that? What did God ask of you, and what did you find in him?
Well, what I realized was that my thoughts were controlling me, and that a lot of the things I was thinking, all the fears and the worries and the worst-case scenarios that I kept coming up, you know, in my head, and all the self-condemning thoughts that, you know, anytime we experience any kind of rejection or upheaval or betrayal, you know, we just start beating ourselves up. And I realized that my thoughts were keeping me from being able to trust God and to feel joy and to be happy, even though I had a million things to be happy about. You know, I was letting this one circumstance really control my life. And so I just asked God to be a part of the transformation of, you know, helping me learn to reshape how I was thinking, because I couldn't change my circumstance, but I could certainly change how I was thinking about it. And attitude and perspective changes don't happen overnight. It's a continual, you know, practice that we have to do day after day, sometimes minute by minute. Mm-hmm. But God can do amazing work, and he assures us that change is possible.
So when you, Tracy, took inventory of your thought life, where did your thoughts most often go rogue? Because it seems like we all have patterns to how we speak, how do we think, even how we act. There's just kind of a repetition. We're kind of creatures of habit. What kind of thought habits did you identify?
Well, my habits would probably fall into two categories, and one was being my own worst enemy.
Yeah.
Saying things to myself and believing things about myself that were simply not true, not of God. And the other thing would be just fear. You know, I felt like my whole life had been kind of ripped out from under me, and I was just fearful of what the future held, what the present was going to be like. You know, I didn't know what to expect, and, you know, all the financial concerns and the concerns for our family and our kids and all of those things just really had a grip on my heart. And so I share another story in the book about how I began to write down those fears one day, and I came up with 33 fears that had just been really mind-boggling, and I didn't realize the weight of, you know, of the burden that they had on me until I wrote them down within just literally a couple minutes. And I thought, wow, you know, this is what is filling my head day after day, minute after minute, is these thoughts. And I just began to ask God to help me clear my head of those thoughts and start thinking in a completely different way.
Hmm. Okay, I want you to talk about the correlation between the way we think and the way we feel. You say when we learn to change the way we think, it'll change how we feel. So say more if you would.
Well, emotions are a natural part of life. God created us as emotional creatures, so emotions are not bad. But when they are driven out of negative thoughts, sometimes thoughts that aren't even necessarily valid or true, then that's where it can steer us in the wrong direction. But regardless of whether our feelings are valid about something, like let's say someone says something to really insult us or hurt us, or maybe they betrayed us in some way, and we began getting angry about that all day long and just say angry, negative, bitter thoughts, all of which are justified possibly, but those thoughts are going to make us feel angry and feel hurt and bitter and resentful, And that's how we're going to act outwardly, and that's going to impact our life and the relationships, you know, within our life. But if we decide to, you know, forgive that person and ask God to help us think positively instead, maybe not obsess over the words or, you know, what actually happened, then we can start to feel differently. And then that's how what's going to drive our actions. So how we think drives our emotions, and our emotions are what drive how we act and how we live our life entirely.
So how long did it take you, Tracy, to start to see the sun break through the clouds? So you get in this low place. God really challenges you. You're going to love me here, and I want you to take inventory of your fears and your thoughts. So you start to apply truth, you know, so that could set you free to these places where your thoughts would go rogue. How long did it take you to start to enjoy some peace in your heart and a sense that I'm changing directions in my life?
Well, there was definitely, if I'm honest, not a day when I woke up and thought, hey, I'm changed. I'm fixed. I've arrived, you know. But, you know, I did recognize that I was beginning to feel a little differently, that I did feel joy throughout the day, that I wasn't constantly thinking about the same problems that I usually had obsessed over. But what really was an eye-opener to me more than anything was when I have been journaling. I'm not really a journaler, but for the past 18 months, I have been journaling this new journey that I've been on. And it's kind of been a safe place for me to vent my feelings and to really record what God was doing in my life and, you know, ways that he intervened that I could feel or see him at work. And I could see over the process of my writing how my sentences begin to change, and how, you know, just a change of my attitude and my heart was really apparent in my writing, and I didn't even realize it at the time. So I'm so glad that I did that, because I can see how God walked me, you know, down this path, and I've certainly not arrived, and we never will, but it's just tangible evidence to me of what he can do if we invite him to really help us transform our minds.
Right. So good. Talking to Tracy Miles, author of the book Unsinkable Faith, God-filled strategies to transform the way you think, feel, and live. We've got 3 copies. I'd love to get a copy in your hands. I'd love it. So email me to get in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. You spell Susie, S-U-S-I-E. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. If you've got a question or comment, you can include that as well. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about, I'm not going to name names, of course, but I think I encountered one of the most persnickety Christians I've ever met in my life the other day. And I want to talk to you, Tracy, about the impact of us not renewing our thoughts, not going to those soul places and dealing with that stuff. What's the ripple effect in our own lives and the lives of those we meet? Talking to Tracy Miles, more with her when we return. Sorry, just had to say that at that point of the song. It needs a hey. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author speaker Tracy Miles. She's written a new book titled Unsinkable Faith, God-filled strategies to transform the way you think, feel, and live. Boy, this is such an important topic. And in a moment, we'll draw the distinction between the world's idea of positive thinking and the Bible's idea of a transformed mind. We'll get there in just a moment. But Tracy, and I'm not going to name names. I'm not even going to give specifics, but encountered one of the most persnickety, prickly Christian women ever, I think, yesterday. And I was sitting in there thinking, first of all, I was just taken aback by just how prickly she was. And then I felt sorry for her and started to really pray for her. But then I felt sad for the unbelievers who would meet her and think, this is how we all are. And so I want you to talk about the impact and the ripple effect of some of these areas in our life. Because I know underneath, people wound people when they're hurt themselves. But at some point, we've got to do some of the work to kind of pull some of these weeds and these thorns out and seek the Lord for healing. Talk about the ripple effect of what happens when we don't do that work.
Well, I think what's worse than being a pessimist is being one and not realizing it.
Yeah, it's not the truth.
It might be that this lady that you encountered, you know, doesn't even realize how negative she comes across or how prickly that she is to other people, and that's just unfortunate. And it's so important for us to really, if we do want to invite God to transform our minds, as scripture says can be done, it's important to take a self-assessment and ask ourselves, am I one of those people? Am I rubbing off negativity on others? If I were contagious, what am I spreading? Am I spreading positivity and optimism, or am I bringing people down and making them feel discouraged or anxious or maybe a little angry like you might have experienced? So we do need to think about how we impact other people, because, you know, what we're spreading is what we leave in a room when we walk away. It's like an aroma that you can leave in a room when you leave, like a perfume. Think about what it is that you're leaving. And I've certainly had experiences with people like that. And at one point, I even realized I had become more like that person than I wanted to be, because they were constantly complaining and being negative and grumpy, and I found myself being that way. So it's important to put up our own barriers and ask God to protect our hearts and minds, but also, like I said, do that self-assessment and think, you know, how am I affecting the others, and how am I being a light for Christ, or am I not? It's important to ask ourselves those questions.
So would that go along the lines of what you're saying about counting the cost and the toll that negative thinking is taking on us? Because I know you explore it on several levels, that it goes even deeper than, I mean, it does matter that we say, you know, what do people experience when they encounter me? That is a good question to ask. But the toll goes even deeper, doesn't it? It's physiological. It's in our health. It's in our outlook on, and in even the quality of our days, right?
Oh, for sure. And unfortunately, we often don't realize the toll that it takes on us. We think, well, you know, these thoughts are negative and they're making me grumpy, but it's not hurting anyone and it's not hurting me because maybe I'm not even speaking them out loud. But one thing that I discovered when I was really doing a lot of research about brains and thought processes, which doesn't sound that interesting, but it actually was phenomenal research when I really started checking into, you know, how much do our thoughts matter, and how does it, what we think, really drive our lives. And what I learned through several amazing studies, some by Dr. Amen, some by Dr. Caroline Leaf, is that how we think creates physical pathways in our brain. So if you think about the fact that maybe you leave your front porch every day, you walk through the grass into the mailbox day after day, week after week, eventually you're going to wear a path in your yard, and you'll be able to, you know, follow that same path every single day. And that's basically what happens with our thought patterns. Our brains have physiological pathways, and a large percentage of the thoughts that we think today are the same thoughts that we thought yesterday, which could be 50 to 70,000 thoughts, and 80% of those are negative. So it takes a huge toll on us, and we have the power within us and through the strength of Christ to immediately and intentionally begin creating new pathways in our brain. But we have to decide, I am not going to think like I did yesterday. I am not going to let this circumstance bring me down like it did last week. I'm going to think differently. And as we intentionally continue to do that, then gradually those pathways in our brain begin to take a new direction. And that's where our thoughts will start to follow.
Yeah, I mean, somebody once said, what if you woke up tomorrow with only the things you thanked God for today? And that's quite a thought. And you couple that with scripture, that's one thing we're called to do at all times, is to give thanks at all times. I know for me, when I'm walking in places of gratitude, my load is lighter. My heart feels brighter. I mean, that's just something that's God's will for us, because we default so quickly to what's not happening, to what we are lacking, that we miss the incredible blessings he brings our way, no?
Yes, for sure. I mean, gratitude is something that we often get too busy to do. We think, well, it's not important. I've got all these blessings, and I've already thanked God for them. But, you know, really being thankful goes beyond just counting your blessings. It becomes a lifestyle. And if we focus on the blessings, if we focus on other people and how we can be a blessing to others, then we're taking the focus off of our problems and off of us. And negativity is often just being very self-focused about what we're dealing with and what we're not getting and how we're not happy, instead of intentionally thinking about all the things that are good. And so that's a great point. So that's just one way that we can begin to really retrain our brains, is to start being more thankful.
Okay, Tracy, we've got about 3.5 minutes to the bottom of the hour break, so we can take it all the way there. And if you want to pick it up on the other side, I want you to feel free to do that. But here's a really an important time to make the distinction between the world's view of positive thinking and the Bible's view of a transformed, renewed mind.
Well, the power of positive thinking is not a new term. That's a term that's been around for many, many years. But when we begin to look at scripture, in Proverbs 23:7, for example, says, for as he thinks, so is he. that is what tells us that scripture and science go hand in hand. God doesn't promise that something's going to happen if it can't happen. So if we want to be transformed, if we really believe that our thoughts are going to run our lives and that we want to be in control of what those thoughts are, then scripture supports the fact that it is possible for us to change. When we admit our need for change and invite God to change us, then that change can begin. And our thoughts can have power over our lives in a great way instead of a negative way.
And you know what's so interesting is people who aren't people of faith, but they actually change and they start positive thinking, which can morph into Eastern mysticism, and we're not talking about that. But even apart from faith, when non-faith people start thinking differently, it does improve the quality of their life. I mean, I think kind of brings them full circle, because we're not enough in ourselves, where the kind of redemption God is calling into us into is divine and based on the living, breathing word of God. But as you said, it's not a new concept. We're not talking about that, but the reality is you've got science that even says people who are battling cancer, who are just keeping a positive outlook, they just fare better than those who maybe are kind of growing inward because of the struggle.
Mm-hmm. And the good news is that we have the good news. And it's hard to change the way that we are, or the way that we feel we might have been wired, or the way that we've thought our whole life. That is hard. So to think about having to do that all on my own without having any, you know, faith to really hold on to, and without having God to help me make that transformation, it would just make it so much more difficult, and might even make it someone give up on, you know, believing that they could be a positive thinker, because they don't have that power of Christ within them to really help them overcome their obstacles.
Wow, we got about a minute here, Tracy. But have you noticed, and I know this is a scientific fact as well, but as you repeat, you know, as you rehearse the promises of God and you change the way you think, doesn't it become instinctive for you when you bump up against things that used to trigger you, instinctive to think in a healthy way, because you're so used to thinking in a healthy way when you're not under fire?
Right. Well, we've all heard that it takes 21 days to build a new habit, but in essence, it could take 5 sets of those 21 days. You know, we really have to think about basically reshaping our brains and think about the fact that there are physiological changes that are going to happen in our brains, and that takes time. So the more that we practice and put into practice tips to retrain our brain and constantly capture those thoughts that are negative and try to rephrase them, then that will gradually become our more natural tendency, and it won't feel near as hard as it does in the beginning.
Isn't that hopeful? Talking to author, speaker Tracy Miles, title of her book, Unsinkable Faith, God-Filled Strategies to Transform the Way You Think, Feel, and Live. She makes a case, boy, for changing how you think, and it changes your life, especially as a believer. When we lay hold of the promises of God and we see our lives through His lens, everything changes. I've got 3 copies of Tracy's book. Email if you want in on the drawing. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Do remember your mailing address. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the avoidable reasons that we sink our own faith. And we don't have to. And we don't have to go there. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author, speaker Tracy Miles about her book, Unsinkable Faith, God-Filled Strategies to Transform the Way You Think, Feel, and Live. Email if you want in on the drawing. Got a few copies to give away. Susie@myfaithradio.com. Remember that mailing address. And if you've got a comment or question for Tracy, you can include that as well. Before we get into it, we're going to kind of delve into the chapter titled Tens of Thousands of Reasons Why We Sink. We're going to get it to that in just a moment. But you also write about the stronghold of negativity. Explain what that is.
Well, anytime something is really controlling our life and keeping us from experiencing God's abundant life to the fullest and experiencing our faith to the fullest, or really keeping us in a whirlpool of sin, and that's a stronghold in our life. And we often think of strongholds as being, you know, more tangible. Maybe it's a sin, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's, you know, something that just really seems to be causing us to struggle in life. We don't think that our thoughts can be a stronghold. And that's really my point here, is that if our thoughts are controlling our happiness and controlling our peace and stealing our joy because we're letting them run rampant and run into negative you know, pathways, then that has become a stronghold in our life. They've had a strong grip on our happiness and our joy and our faith and our peace. And it's important to recognize that our thoughts can actually have a grip on our life and keep us from really understanding that life can be great, even if our circumstances aren't that great, because we have God and because we are believers.
Okay, let's delve into this idea. Tens of thousands of reasons why we sink. And this is the thing, is these are avoidable reasons why we sink our own faith. So go ahead and unpack it, if you would.
Well, there's a lot of lies that we listen to, and that's really a lot of the reasons that we sink. And some of them in the book I'll refer to as whirlpools of thinking. And the phrase 10,000 reasons why we sink really applies to our thoughts, because we have tens of thousands of thoughts every single day. And when we think about the weight of what our thoughts are doing, and that we're anchoring our heart and our mind and our happiness to negative thoughts, that's what's going to cause us to sink. But when we anchor our hearts to things that are pleasing to God, to thoughts that are positive, to focus on things that we're thankful for, then that's where, you know, our thoughts are going to go. So it's important to think about, you know, what are the thoughts that are sinking me? Why do I feel so desperate and alone and hopeless and in despair? And it could be simply because, not that your circumstances may not warrant it, but we don't have to let our circumstances dictate our happiness. And that's really the point of the whole book, no matter what situation we find ourselves in, is that we don't have to let our thoughts sink us, because we have control of what we're thinking.
So, Tracy, as you walk through just a devastating divorce, and you've, as you said at the beginning of the show, you found yourself in this pit of despair, and as God just started to pull you out and put a new song in your heart, no doubt, I mean, you walk through, especially you've got children, times where the enemy would get in his zingers, you know, and he would accuse and condemn. How did you become more savvy at using your shield and your sword so that you could stay in a place of faith and peace and not let the enemy accuse you and have his way with you?
Well, God gives us lots of tools in the Bible for, you know, fighting off the enemy's attempts to really bring us down. But the two primary ones that we all have at our fingertips but so often forget to use is simply God's Word and our prayer life with Him. And I just had to make a focus. And it doesn't always come naturally. I can't say every day I got up and did a 30-minute devotion by any means, because life is busy and, you know, but that's not the determining factor of our faith walk. Our faith walk is making sure we're in His Word and making sure we're spending time in conversation with Him. And my mantra over the last few years in life has really just been to never say amen and just keep that conversation going, because all day long there's reasons that are going to make me feel negative. Every 10 minutes something might happen that's going to cause me discouragement or make me angry or make me upset. And it's important to just keep that conversation going. So, you know, it's such a blessing to have those tools that we can use that, you know, are just, God is just no more than a thought and a prayer away. And we just often get too busy to remember to really use those tools in our faith walk and to help us get through the circumstances of life.
You know, I wonder, Tracy, how many thousands of thoughts we have a day towards these two things. I mean, that's just very common, insecurity, and this is another form of insecurity, but others' thoughts towards us. You know what I'm saying? Where we rehearse what people might be thinking, and we rehearse thoughts of our own inadequacy. Speak to those, because those will sink us every single time. There's no life in those, and they'll pull us right off the path that God has for us.
Right. And so many of us are guilty of doing that, myself included, as I mentioned earlier. I think it's important that we think about what we are saying to ourselves. Maybe even write down the thoughts that you had this morning. I'm unworthy. I don't have any value. I can't do anything right. No one loves me. You know, I'm unattractive. I can't manage my weight. I'm not going to accomplish anything. So-and-so doesn't approve of me. And we just have all of these things that just flood our brains day in and day out. And that is what becomes, you know, some of the things that sink us. So for me, I encourage people to do some of the things that I have done, which is I really begin to ask myself, would I say that to someone else? Would I say what I am telling myself to someone else? And the answer was always no, because that would be hurtful and unkind. But I don't think twice about, you know, saying unkind and hurtful things to myself. So we need to ask ourselves, are we being our own worst enemy? And how can I retrain what I'm saying to myself?
And also ask yourself, is what I'm saying going to be backed up by God's word in any way, shape, or form? And 99.9%, if not 100%, you know, the answer is going to be no. So if God's not saying it about us, then it's not going to be true. So those are two great ways to think about what we're thinking and telling ourselves, and to really hold them up to whether or not they're actually true and how we can break free of them.
I'm taking a note here. Oh, I'm on live radio. If God's not saying it about us, it's not going to be true. That's so good. Here's another one the enemy uses so often against us is not enoughness. You know, you should either do more or you're just not enough. And the thing is, he'll drive us into the ground if we listen to him, because none of us are enough in ourselves. You know, we may flourish and do well in one area of service and fall down in another. None of us are enough. And yet that thought pattern can take us out and steal our joy in a matter of minutes.
Right. And if we let that thought pattern drive us to do more, to be more, to strive for perfection, we're just setting ourselves up for even more failure and discouragement, because, you know, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. That's the measurement we usually put on ourselves. And we compare ourselves to other people, which is also a tool for discouragement. And one of the things that I do, you know, really reference in the book, because we're also guilty of doing that. But so often, the women that, and men for that matter, that we think have it all together and they're perfect and they've got these great families and marriages and jobs and everything's just wonderful in their life, they're some of the people that are struggling with insecurity and self-condemnation the most. But they're still striving to keep up, you know, keep up the pace or the expectations they think other people have of them. And it's a terrible trap to be in, and it does really take a toll on our hearts and minds.
So let's talk about just the process of renewing our minds. You know, we don't like it when anything is hard, and yet this is one of those battles we have to fight if we want to be free. No one's going to change our thoughts for us. We want to be zapped by God. We want him to come in and change our thoughts. This is one of those things he lets us wrestle out on our own. Talk about why you think that is.
Well, if we don't want to change, then we're not going to change.
Right.
That's what I was saying earlier is, you know, the very first step to really embracing a new life and a life of optimism and being more positive is recognizing, hey, there's some things I need to change. Hey, I am guilty of constantly seeing that glass half empty instead of half full. And we all have a tendency to do that at times, some more than others. But we all have the opportunity to change and turn our lives around if we so choose. And so there are a lot of tips and strategies that we can implement to really help us begin making that transformation.
So do you have any just kind of daily practices for thoughts, you know, turning your thoughts upward? Are there verses that you rehearse or just faith statements you kind of speak to your own soul?
Well, there are certainly some verses that, you know, I kind of keep on the tip of my tongue, but I have three tips that I try to implement to my own life. And this is what really God showed me a couple years ago, is that I can continue thinking the same thoughts day after day, and I'm going to continue living the same way. It's kind of like the definition of insanity. Mm-hmm. If you keep doing the same thing over and over and over, you can't expect to get a different outcome. But when we intentionally choose to invite God to come in, and, you know, we believe in Romans 12:2, which says, let God transform you by changing the way that you think, then that just opens the door for that change to begin happening. And what I've encouraged people to do is just three quick steps. You might have to do it every minute, every day, every hour, until it becomes more of a habit. But it's ask God to help you be aware, to notice when you're thinking a negative thought, and then reject that thought completely. Just tell yourself, I'm not going to think that way today or again. And then replace that thought with something more positive. So recognize your negative thoughts, reject them, and then replace them with something that's more positive or that would be more true in God's opinion. And as we do that day after day, that's how we begin building those new pathways that changes the way that we think.
Have your kids noticed a difference in you as you've reined in your thoughts and redeemed them?
I think that they have. They might have a different story. But my mother has always been an extremely positive person, and she's had a lot of difficulties in her life, including divorce and cancer and being a single parent and financial struggles and the loss of loved ones and, you know, things that so many of us have to struggle through. But not once has she ever not been a positive person. And I think that she raised me to be the same way. And I hope that, you know, my children would say the same thing about me. But there is a definite change, which is evident in that I can see in myself, and I know that they've said as well, from where I was this time last year to where I am today, and it's certainly only God to bring me, you know, around. Not that I've arrived or not that I still don't have discouraging thoughts or days, but, you know, I know that he is with me, and that's just what I have to keep, you know, keep my eyes set on.
That's really great. Talk to the person listening today, Tracy, who feels very entitled to their bitter negative thoughts. Deep inside, they probably don't like themselves a whole lot for it because they know the net result is quite negative and it affects their relationships and their outlook. But it's like they can't give up their pound of flesh. Do you know what I'm saying? They feel entitled and justified by it. Is there anything you can say to them, or do they just have to get to a point where they're just tired of it all?
Well, I would imagine they're already tired of it.
Yes, exactly.
Either don't know how to change or don't believe that they can change. And unfortunately, life is just unfair at times. And good people have bad things happen. And, you know, broken people hurt innocent people. And life sometimes justifies being negative. We all have reasons that we can tell ourselves, you know, I deserve to be grumpy and I deserve to be mad and I have a right to be angry and bitter and negative, and that may be true, but that's not the way that God wants us to live, and that's not going to make us happy to continue living that way. So even if we have a right to be angry, or even if we have a right to be unforgiving or bitter towards someone, you know, that means we're giving them the key to our joy, and God wants to hold the key to our joy. So we can either choose, I'm going to be in charge of my life and my happiness, or I'm going to let this past situation or circumstance or this person continue to be in charge of my happiness. We have to ask God to help us let go of what we don't need to hold on to anymore and to fill those empty spaces with more of him and with the joy that we all want. We all want to feel joyful, no matter how negative or how long we might have been that way. We all were built with an innate desire for God and eternity in our hearts, and that includes having his peace and his joy. So I would just encourage them to, number one, believe it can happen for them. Number two, long for it with all their heart, and then invite God to be a part of that and just start making that transformation starting today.
Boy, believe it can happen. Long for it with all your heart, and then ask God in on that transformation process. Be willing to lay down some things, because what you'll lay hold of will be so much better. You will travel light with the heart of peace and joy. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the physical implications, the physiological implications of right thinking, of renewed thinking, redeemed thinking. How does it impact your well-being? We'll talk about that on the other side. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to author speaker Tracy Miles, who's written the book Unsinkable Faith, God-Filled Strategies to Transform the Way You Think, Feel, and Live. If you want in on the drawing, I would love for you to email me, Susie, that's S-U-S-I-E, Susie, at myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. And you write that we can't always control how we feel, but we can take authority over our own minds and change the way we think. So often, Tracy, we feel at the mercy of how we feel. But if we believe that we're at the mercy of how we feel, it will affect our physical health, which we'll get to in a moment. But talk about that process then of taking authority over our own minds and changing how we think.
Well, that taking authority really begins with, as I mentioned, just inviting God into the transformation and asking him to do it in our hearts and minds, but really starting to practically apply those three tips of, you know, recognizing, rejecting, and replacing those thoughts that are negative, and just making that a continued habit in your life. That's taking authority over it. So you're capturing those thoughts and making them pleasing to Christ, as Scripture also tells us to do. And as we do that, we gradually feel like we have more and more power over what we're thinking, rather than, you know, thinking that we're powerless to control the way that we feel and the way that we think.
Okay, now let's talk about just the physiological impact of our thought life. They're very, very connected, our thoughts to our, just to our overall health. What have you learned?
Well, I've learned a great deal about the toll that our thoughts take on us really over the last 6 or 7 years. And I wrote a book a few years ago called Stressless Living, and that's really where I began to recognize the correlation between our physical health and our mental health. And just due to a lot of stress that I was under and a lot of thoughts that were constantly driving me crazy, I began to have a lot of health problems. And when I asked God to intervene in that, and, you know, I made some changes in my life externally but also internally, a lot of those health problems went away. And I did a lot of research on that as well. And honestly, I've learned that 75% of all illnesses, from like the common cold even to cancer, can be rooted back to, you know, stress and thought-related matters, because our thoughts have more control over us in so many ways and we just don't even realize it.
Wow. What changes did you make, referring back to that book? In fact, we'll have to maybe get you on to talk about that someday. What were some changes you made back then that really proved positive in your life?
Well, at the time, I was really just starting to feel called to ministry and called to speak and to write, even though I had no clue what that looked like or, you know, if that would ever even happen. But I decided to make a change in my career, and that certainly helped. But the main thing that helped was that I stopped being too busy for God, and I stopped being too busy for my faith and my family, because my job had become all-consuming, you know, from a physical standpoint, but also just from a stress and mental and emotional standpoint. And I really just changed my focus in life, and I asked God to take over. And that really set me in a different direction. And I always say that I didn't get less stressed or, you know, controlled my thoughts better because I left a stressful job, but because I found a less stressed God and a God of peace and joy, no matter what my circumstance was. And that's what really helped me really break free from having that stronghold of stress or negativity or the power of my thoughts controlling my life.
Hmm. Tracy, I'd love to know just how you're different now. I mean, what thoughts do you instinctively have now just from practice and applying yourself to redeemed thinking that you didn't have before?
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say in general, I'm a pretty positive thinker. Now, there are days when something can set me off, you know, or maybe I feel upset, and it, rightly so, based on the reason. But I've had people ask me, you know, how do you not be bitter against, you know, someone that hurt you or against, you know, about this situation? And I can't really explain it. I certainly have, you know, doubts and moments that I wish things were different, and, I'd like to give someone a piece of my mind. But, you know, those things are just natural. But on the whole, I just think God's peace has just been what's really sustained me. And sometimes I wonder why God gives us so much grace. And I regret that I take for granted how he is really there, and he fills us with that peace and joy, even when we don't think we have a reason to feel those things. And it just becomes a part of who you are.
Hmm. Well, I want you to say a word about, if you would, about choosing joy in every circumstance. I mean, the Lord invites us to that, and you sort of make the distinction between that and faking it till you make it. What do you say?
Well, the truth is we really can't fake it till we make it.
Yeah.
At some point we're going to trip up, and we're going to really stumble, and we're just going to crash and burn. And it's important to just equip our hearts before we get to that point. And that's really what the difference is. We can't fake it till we make it, because we're never going to make it without God. We can't overcome a tragedy in our life and, you know, experience victory if we're trying to do it of our own accord. We can't experience a peace that surpasses all understanding if we're trying to just fake it and make people think that we have it all together. So if we don't have God's help and his, you know, the Holy Spirit working within us on our behalf, we just can't do it on our own.
It's really true. If you think about just your best vision for what could happen for those who read the book, what's your just hope and your prayer and your desire?
My deepest prayer is for them to walk away believing that they can change and that they can live a positive, optimistic, joy-filled, you know, peace-fueled life, even if they're facing the worst circumstance, or even if, you know, they've made a lot of mistakes in their life that they are having trouble forgiving themselves for, much less other people, or even if they are just really struggling with something and they're having a hard time overcoming an addiction or a habit, that everyone can change. Scripture says, you know, let God transform you by changing the way that you think. And the verse we started with was that we're all a new creation and we have new life in him. You know, we're a new person. And we often think those promises are for everyone else, but not for us. that we are each one of God's children. And if that promise is valid for you, then it's valid for me. So I just want them to believe that they, too, can be a positive thinker. It's not trying to live with a Pollyanna attitude. It's actual transformation that happens over time, and that we're all, it's available to us all, and we're all capable of doing it if we intentionally choose to control our thoughts instead of letting them control us.
And again, this is a work that we've got to do, but we're not doing it alone. Jesus is with us. This is what he wants for us, but we are the ones who have to apply ourselves to it. Let's pause and pray if we could, Tracy. I'm wondering if you pray for that person listening today who's just, maybe this is a new concept or maybe it's not, but this is a new invitation and it's time for them to renew their thoughts. Would you pray for that person today?
Dear Heavenly Father, you know exactly who's listening today, and you know exactly which hearts are hurting. You know what they are struggling with. Lord, I just ask you to shower them with your favor, to just help them break free of the belief that they can never have a positive life because of less than positive situations that have happened or are currently happening. And Lord, we just ask you to give them hope, to fill them with a peace that surpasses all understanding, and to help them believe without a shadow of a doubt that you are with them, that you can change them, and they can have control over how they think, feel, and live. And we ask all of this in your name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Tracy, thank you for your time. Thank you for pressing through your own obstacles and battles so that you could steward this message today. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much.
Title of her book, again, is Unsinkable Faith. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. And remember your mailing address. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Tomorrow on Talk to Me Thursday, the question is this: what's the best piece of advice you've ever received? It could be in any area of life. What's the best advice you received? We'll be talking about that tomorrow. Remember this: the Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who keeps you strong to the end. Have a great day.